Happy to have Valerie Jarrett on with us, senior advisor to President Obama, in fact, the longest serving senior advisor to the president. And she's doing something pretty cool that you can take part in. You might have heard a little bit about it earlier here on WGN. Welcome to the show, Valerie. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, and I'm delighted to be here. How's my hometown?
Yeah, we're holding up. Are you, I was going to ask you that, where are you sort of riding out the stay-at-home orders and stuff?
When the music stopped, I was in New York, and needless to say, no one back home in Chicago is interested in me returning from New York until this is over. So I'm hunkered down here, self-quarantining, and I see my daughter and my son-in-law and my grandson, and that is it.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, it's that is the center of it all right now, and has been for some time. So that is it's tough everywhere, but there in particular, I think our hearts go out to what you're dealing with there on the East Coast.
Well, you know what, we all can do something about it, and that is stay in place. And I know everybody's anxious as the summer's coming along, wants to get outside and socialize, but I'd rather give up this summer and live to have another summer. And for all of those who have people in their lives with pre-existing conditions or who are elderly, you know, let's just be careful. And we now have seen that this pandemic is hitting everyone. Nobody can escape it. So
no question. No doubt about that. Valerie, let me ask you something, because you're involved with this virtual book club, and it's over Zoom, and you've got two gatherings coming together here. In one, it's your book over 2 days. Is that right? Are you doing it two different days?
2 days, and I'm doing several. It's actually over the course of a couple of months, but I'm zooming into all kinds of different book clubs and organizations, and I just did one yesterday focusing on moms, and it's just exciting to see the feedback I'm receiving, but also the stories that people are opening up and sharing with me. So it's an adventure.
Well, you know, your book, it seems like it's so relevant to these times when you think about the title of it, Finding My Voice, When the Perfect Plan Crumbles, The Adventure Begins. I think that's never more true than it has been for people right now, and certainly graduates right now. We were talking earlier in the show, the class of 2020 thought they were walking into the best job market that we've seen in half a century, and things have changed. And I think your book addresses that very kind of thing. I imagine a lot of people will be interested in what you have to say.
Well, yeah, so I tell my story about how I had a perfect 10-year plan when I finished school, and I thought I knew exactly what I was going to do, and I woke up 10 years later having followed my plan, and I was pretty miserable. And I think part of what I've learned is that it's not what happens to you, it's what you do about it. And this pandemic, I finished the title before we were in the midst of this, but I think it applies to life in general, is that curveballs are always coming our way. Or we think 1 year we're really passionate about something, and then you discover a few years later, nah, not so much. And what I encourage people is to not cling to that straight line, that perfect plan, but be flexible and relax and kind of go with the adventure. And look, this pandemic is devastating. The families who have lost loved ones, the people who are struggling to regain their health, it's awful. The people who've lost their jobs, the first responders and essential workers who are sacrificing so much. But, you know, our country is resilient, and we have grit and determination, and we're stronger when we pull together. And I've seen so many examples of grace and goodness that have come out of people at this challenging time. And I think that's the way forward. And so, yes, it's been awful, and it will continue to be awful for a while. But my hope is that we emerge from it stronger, more resilient, and we learn from some of the challenges that we've been facing over the last few months.
Now, you got your start in politics working for Mayor Washington back in the day. You worked for Mayor Daley as well.
Back in the day.
When you hired? Back in the day. I mean, what an interesting, fascinating time to be in politics, and as it continued in for you throughout your life. But you hired, as the rumor goes, or has it, or maybe the truth goes, Michelle Robinson then, who was engaged to Barack Obama. You're one of their longest time friends and really a trusted advisor for so many years.
Nearly 30. It'll be 30 years next year that smart, elegant, mature woman walked into my office with this commanding handshake and looked me right in the eye. And what I remember most about meeting both she and her husband is that they opened up and they told me their stories. And I remember she told me how both her dad and her best friend had died in the prior year, and she was trying to figure out there must be more to life than what I'm currently doing. And I had a similar kind of wake-up call when I was at a big law firm and I had my daughter. And I would look at her and I would leave every day to go to work. And I thought, my gosh, am I ever actually doing something that's going to make her proud of me one day? And so I think both of us had these wake-up calls for different reasons, but drove us to public service. And so I think she was interested in the job, but when I called her to say, what do you think? She said her fiancé didn't think it was such a great idea. And I said, well, who's he? And she told me, and she invited me to have dinner with the two of them. And that was a good dinner. And we've been friends ever since.
Yeah, exactly. And right. And very trusted on top of that because of how long you've known them and you knew them when. I wonder about your thoughts about getting into politics. If you were to talk to a graduating class here in 2020, would you advise doing it? I mean, we hear so much vitriol. It's so polarized these times. And yet it just feels as if sometimes it might be hard to, it would be, excuse me, easy to lose sight of a greater good or, you know, life in public policy when you're dealing with so much of that other divisive stuff.
Well, there is a lot of toxicity in the air, but and I will say it's worse now than it was 30 years ago. But it's, look, as they say in Chicago, politics is in beanbags. It was always kind of rough and tumble. But what drove me wasn't the politics. It was the service, the public service, the opportunity to give back to a city that I loved so dearly. And during my time working in local government, I learned so much about how you keep the voices of the people you represent front and center. I learned to listen and to engage and to make sure that we were tailoring our priorities directed at what the constituents in Chicago wanted us to do. And it's 24/7, and look, people will come up to me in the grocery store and tell me what they thought. They would, you know, yell at me at community meetings, all as it is supposed to be. And it teaches you the importance of service. And so I always looked at it as that politics was kind of the means to the ends, but the real goal was service. And it is far more toxic and polarizing than it should be. And what I say to young people is there are many ways to serve, joining state, local, federal government. If you don't like the people who are in office, vote in new people, or even better, run for office yourself. And I think that part of the challenge is for every citizen to feel the sense of empowerment that you can't afford to shun government. In fact, this pandemic has shown just how important good government is at both the federal, state, and local level. They all are impacting our lives. And so one of the initiatives that I've been involved in, and I encourage people to participate, is called When We All Vote. It was founded by Michelle Obama a couple of years ago. It's nonpartisan, 501c3, not-for-profit, designed to change our culture around voting. And I say this particularly to the young people that you have to get involved. And I think that people look at government as something afar and not relevant to their lives until they need it. And what I encourage people to do is to appreciate how much you need it day in and day out.
You were just on stage with Michelle Obama, and she was talking about her Netflix Becoming series, and I know that you remain close with her, as you just we've talked about. Her name does come up. I think you know this. It comes up when we think about Joe Biden's pick for a VP. He says he wants a woman. I think she says that she is not interested in that kind of thing. If you had to say, put any odds on it, would you say that she would potentially be a pick for VP, and would she take it?
I think there's a 0% chance that she would be willing to be the vice president of the United States. She was always drawn to the service, never to the politics. And frankly, I think the platform she has transcends politics. She can have a huge impact around the United States and around the world, an inclusive one that is really free from what we were talking about a few minutes ago, Anna, and that's the toxicity of our political environment. And so her efforts to help young girls get an education, the work she's doing on encouraging people to vote and participate in the democracy, the work her husband is doing, that she joins him at the Obama Foundation in Chicago, creating a platform to teach civic engagement for the next generation. I think that's what drives her, and I can assure your listeners that 100% she will not be the vice president of the United States.
All right, that's
clear. She'd be
enough.
Terrific. She'd be great. The one thing I can say is that anything she puts her mind to, she does at an A-plus level. But I think that the part of what she's learned is to do what you care passionately about. And what she cares about is service, not politics.
Let me, speaking of politics, let me ask you about the General Flynn case. Just wanted to see if you can weigh in on that. So much scrutiny about how that was handled all around. New documents from the FBI show that maybe the FBI wasn't handling it entirely properly. There's a dismissal, the move to dismiss the charges from AG Bill Barr. How do you think, how do you view what's happening there? Was it handled fairly and correctly? Do you what is your overall
I'm very
take
proud of what we I'm proud of what we did, completely proud of the way our administration handled it. I will say it is unprecedented for an attorney general to drop charges against somebody who admitted to lying to the FBI, and it is an erosion of our rule of law, and it's deeply troubling, and it should be troubling to all Americans who rely on that rule of law to guide us and to be the pillar of our democracy.
Yeah, you've seen his attorney go out, though, and say that you thought it was a casual conversation with the FBI. This was a charges-building kind of situation.
Mr. Flynn was a senior member of the administration. He was a national security advisor. I think he knows there are no casual conversations with the FBI.
All right, Valerie, tell us where we can go for the virtual book club. We've got two sessions. I understand you have to register for it by today at hushloudly.com is where you go.
Thank you for promoting it.
Yes, I wanted to make sure we got that in there because we said it earlier, and I know you're going to be out there doing it. It starts, I think, tomorrow. Is that right? And then there's a second session,
yes.
June 1st.
Yes. And what we'll do is anybody who's interested, the details, I'll post them on Instagram and on Twitter. Please participate and please ask questions and share your stories. Part of how I found my voice was learning to trust the quiet voice inside of me and speak up. And I want everybody to have that same sense of empowerment. And so speak up, tell me what you're thinking, ask questions, and we can engage over either Instagram or Twitter in addition to the book parties.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Valerie. Thanks for making time for us here on WGN. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. My love to everyone in Chicago.